Do you love great podcasts? Do you love great Australian podcasts? Of course you do. Australians make incredible podcasts. And if you want to stay up to date with the best Australian shows, then check out Oz Podcasts. Look for us on social media and find your new favourite show from the Australian podcast directory on ozpodcast.com.au. That's OZPODCASTS, ozpodcast.com.au. Check it out.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening, cause we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech Webcast. Let's go!
And it's an Australia Day weekend. Welcome to episode 320 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 24th of January 2015. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at midday Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Jennifer, Steve, Belinda, Jacob, and myself, Andrew. And our very special guest today is Matt Pope from the very popular and fun Talko app. How are you doing there, Brad?
How are you going, Andrew? I'm going fantastic, mate. Happy Australia Day to you.
Happy Australia Day weekend to you. Weekend. It's not till Monday. We're a little bit early, but that's okay. We can sort of stretch the truth a little.
We can indeed, mate. Wow. How's your week been?
Yeah, really good, busy. Sort of lots happening. It's 2015 has started, and I'm trying to catch up with it. But no, it's good. It's good, and the weather's fantastic for Australia Day. It is. I've got a barbecue to head out to on Monday, so it should be fun.
Good one, mate. We caught up on Wednesday at the barbecue place in the city.
Yeah, we did actually. I think Big Boy Barbecue. They're a friend of the show, and
they are indeed.
Get down there. They've got a few stores in Melbourne, and you get yourself a great feed. I've been down to Austin this year earlier in March for South by Southwest, and the barbecue they produce is pretty darn good comparatively. So, yeah, it was great fun.
Yeah, definitely. What do you do on Australia Day, Andrew? What do you do? Just have a barbecue on that?
Yeah, we usually put the Triple J Hottest 100 on in the background, and we have a barbecue and a few sausages and bread so forth. And sometimes you'll put some stupid Australia flags on and wear the t-shirts and that sort of stuff.
Do you have a favorite Australian TV show or movie that you like to watch? Maybe
not really. I don't really get into watching that per se. I do enjoy after the Triple J or before putting on Just Aussie, having Australian music on. That's a whole lot of fun, and appreciating some of what we have here down under.
But definitely.
Should be a lot of fun, Brad.
Should be good. Yeah, it's a good day to celebrate and that sort of thing. Let's go to Steve. Steve, how are you? Welcome, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? Let me see. Well, first thing I wanted to say is, what is Australian Day for somebody who may not...
Andrew, do you want to explain?
It's pretty much your 4th of July. I mean, we literally, to my knowledge, what is Australia Day? Australia Day is basically just us celebrating what we are, what our roots are. And,
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Come get out and play
for a day. It's celebrated on the 26th of January, and that sort of marks the anniversary of the arrival of the first fleet from England into Australia, which happened in 1788. So that was when Captain Cook and the Endeavour arrived in Australia. And so all that time ago, and we celebrate that. And that's when England sort of birthed in Australia.
Good stuff. Good answer, Andrew. Steve, any other questions?
As far as questions, that was it. I just finished up filming on the Rialto Theater. I had to go back and get some additional footage and some interviews. So that was good. Had a lot of fun talking to the people over there. Of course, it was a theater that they renovated. It was built in 1937. And I finally got my tripod in. My previous tripod, I ran over with the truck. Oh, it still worked for a while. So I had to order a new one. A new one came in. So that kind of tells you you got to take care of your stuff and don't run it over.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right, let's go to Belinda. Welcome, Belinda. You're back again. How's your week been? And we caught up with you again on Wednesday.
Yeah, that was great barbecue. It was just like being in America. So
it was indeed.
That was pretty good. And I was back at work on Thursday, so that was a bit of a reality hit after having a relaxing 4 weeks off.
You didn't want to go back, or were you happy?
It was nice and relaxing not working, but I need money. So, yeah, and got the new Stan
app.
Yes,
indeed. Let's talk about that for a minute. And yep. How do you like it, and what have you been using on that? What have you been watching?
I like the Australian dramas that are on
Yeah.
Like
good section.
Penny and Muriel's Wedding and all that sort of thing. And I was watching an interesting documentary with Joe Hildebrand. It was called Dumb, Drunk and Dumb, Drunk and Racist. It was about how Indians perceive Australians as being just racist, everyone being racist. And it was about three Indians, I think it was, and he took them to Australia so they could see what it was really like for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So because they had a stereotype in their head that all Australians are racist towards Indians, so because of the violent attacks and that sort of thing.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that was interesting.
Good stuff. Now, Stan, you did a review on it, Belinda. Let's have a quick word about that. And what do you like about it and don't like about it? And you do AirPlay, does AirPlay that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's a good thing about it, the AirPlay, how you can just be on your iPad and bring up the show that you want and then just put it straight onto the TV.
Yeah, definitely.
That sort of thing. The only thing that I was disappointed with is there's no sport. It's all movies and...
Yeah, well, Channel 9 and Fairfax, is that correct? They own it?
Yes, that's correct.
And maybe they should add some sports into it, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Channel 9 get a lot of good sports, don't they?
It's good if you're not into sport and you really love movies and that sort of thing, but if you love both, it's a bit hard. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, that's what you got Fox for the sports.
Yeah. Sorry, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, live right. Sport in HD, so.
Let's go to, we'll go to Andrew in a minute and then we'll go to Jennifer. Jennifer, welcome, Jennifer.
Hello, how are you?
How are you? How's your week been?
It has been really busy. And yours?
Good. It's been good. It's been interesting. I had a chat with you on iMessage the other day about an app that we've been using. And you don't like about it.
Yeah, we were talking. Yeah, you're a big fan of a particular app called Human.
That's right,
And I know you've been using it for a while. And I gave it a shot a while ago, a few years ago, or whenever it first launched. And then there's so many different fitness apps, you know. So you kind of become loyal to the first one that you really get into, I think.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened with me. I'm a huge fan of one called Cardio Trainer by Noom, which is on Android. And so that's kind of my favorite. So, but yeah.
Good stuff.
I'm glad that you're liking the new update to Humans.
Yeah, it's a good update. Yeah, it's a good update. Anything interesting happened to you, Jennifer, during the week? Anything you want to report on?
Nothing tech worthy. So I'll leave it at that. No,
okay, cool.
just been busy at work, and I'm doing this Android programming class now, so I'm trying to get a little bit nerdier.
Okay, cool. Well, Matt is actually looking for an Android person to do an app, so.
Oh, well, you know, Matt, I would not recommend myself being that I'm just starting now.
Contact me a little bit down the road.
Maybe a year from now.
We'll talk.
All right.
Sounds good.
And Matt, welcome to the show, man. Good to have you on.
It's great to be here. I'm particularly honored to be here on the Australia Day edition, I guess.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Definitely. Jacob, welcome. How's your week been, mate?
It's been going pretty good. It's just the weather out here has been pretty bad.
Move to Melbourne, mate. It's been great weather today. Move to Melbourne.
Yeah, this morning it was crystal clear. Then I checked the radar this morning. Mm-hmm. It was all yellow and red.
Wow, that's not good.
Didn't it hit you too, Jennifer?
It has been raining all day long and quite miserable and cold all day. It's 34 degrees Fahrenheit right now, which I'm not sure what that is in Celsius, but it's chilly and wet and rainy and cold and miserable, so not too nice.
Good day to be inside and watch TV and stuff and movies.
It's been, I wish I could do that all day long. That'd be great. It would be a great day for that. Maybe later on tonight I'll do that.
Yeah, definitely. Andrew, let's go to you for a minute and talk about this new streaming app, Stan and Presto. You've been checking them out during the week, and how do you like it so far?
Yeah, I have actually. Really, really good. Presto, I'm probably leaning towards. I'm really enjoying using that.
Mm-hmm.
Stan is great. I think they had a few issues early on with some of their streaming, sort of stalling and so forth. But I'm really enjoying using both of them, and it's great to see Australia coming out with a bit of content of their own to try and compete with, you know, some of the Netflix and these sorts of products which are out and about. So it's I'm enjoying using them, and hopefully they can really build on top of and get some users and create a great service from that.
Yeah, definitely. And what with the Stan, you like to have you tried the AirPlay app on Stan at all? Because that does AirPlay.
Yeah, I have. I got to admit, I'm not a huge AirPlay fan as far as that's concerned. I really like the idea of using it with an Apple TV device so that you can, or whatever, a Chromecast, so that you've got complete control into the device that you're using. I mean, AirPlay for me is just a bit clumsy. It's great if you just want, you know, to watch something one-off through YouTube or whatever, but as an actual setup, you know, my wife is too lazy for AirPlay. She wants to just sit down on the couch, you know, grab a remote and just work out what she wants to do. Telling her, you've got to, you know, line this up on here and then click this and go onto there and do that. It's okay to start with, and you know, that's fantastic that they're getting going, but I'm really hoping that they're going to have some installation into set-top box environment soon.
Yeah, definitely. They need an app. Stan or Presto need to get on the Xbox One or something. They need to have that sort of function, I reckon.
Yeah, for sure. But no, it's great that they're doing it. It's going to be really interesting because, as we know, Netflix are coming to Australia in March, and we already have QuickFlix, which is a great Australian company who've been around for a while streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to have QuickFlix, Stan, Presto, Netflix. So it's going to be a really vibrant marketplace in March.
Yeah, definitely. And what about you, Belinda? Have you found good value out of Stan or Presto? Or have you used Presto before?
Yeah, I think Stan's better value than QuickFlix because I tried QuickFlix and it didn't really have much content, and Stan has a lot more content than that one. So
right.
I think it's more value for money. Definitely.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. And what about Jennifer? I know you use Netflix.
I do. I use Netflix every day, pretty much. So, yeah.
Good stuff.
Love it.
Good stuff. And what about you, Matt? Do you use any streaming services at all?
I use Netflix, but I must admit things are a little busy with the business these days. So I unfortunately don't get to watch a lot of movies. I know that's boring, but it's true.
Fair enough. That's cool. Steve, what about you, mate? What do you use? Netflix?
I mean, I used to. My wife has, you know, an account, but most of the time I catch the TV shows. I'm mostly in the TV series, so I just catch it on demand, which is free for a lot of shows. So it just goes to my cable company, and then I think they save like the first, you know, 8 episodes. So if I miss one, I just go on there and watch
it. With the new Fox LIQ box coming out next month, you can actually, if you miss a show, you can actually rewind it. Up to 5 hours and watch what you miss.
Oh, yeah, it's something similar, I guess.
So that's going to be pretty good.
A little different, yeah.
That's going to be pretty cool, and one terabyte hard drive. Are you going to be getting one, Belinda?
What was that?
Are you getting the IQ3 box at all?
Yeah, because it's only a one-off payment, so it's pretty good value, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the news then, Jennifer, and we'll come back and have a chat with Matt.
Sounds good.
Okay, let's play this.
Thank you, Brad. And in the news tonight, you know, we've been talking about Stan, and that's our first story, actually, coming from tvtonight.com.au. Stan is going to be launching on Australia Day. So it's the Channel 9 and Fairfax streaming service called Stan. It's launching on Australia Day this Monday, and it offers TV shows and movies for $10 a month. The joint venture will compete for subscribers against players such as Presto Presto, Netflix, and QuickFlix, and will be available in full HD on your TV or favorite device, including tablets and smartphones. This service will launch with a free 30-day trial, and Mike Sneesby, who is the CEO of Stan, he says, to quote him, "We know there's been some speculation around Stan's launch date, and we've been having to keep it under wraps, and we're really proud to be able to announce that Australia's new streaming service will be launching on Australia Day." Now, Better Call Saul, which is the prequel to the award-winning Breaking Bad, will premiere on Monday, February 9th, as well as a special screening of the first two episodes of Transparent that will be on Tuesday, January 27th at 10 p.m. ahead of the entire season will be available on Stan. In addition, one other announcement with this, Mozart in the Jungle, starring Malcolm McDowell, will be offering the entire season, while Fargo's first season will also be available at launch. They have a whole list of exclusives if you're interested in learning more. Take a look for Stan. I would just suggest Google searching it. And moving on to the next story, this one's coming from iMore.com, talking about Spotify. It's my favorite music app. Hopefully you guys are checking it out, and if not, I suggest you do. Spotify is now going to let you preview and quickly save songs in their latest app update. You know, hunting down new songs on any music service, including Spotify, Pandora, so on and then forth, it can prove to be such a chore, but when you're on your smartphone, you're really trying to find that song is quite difficult to find what you're looking for. So now this is going to change. Spotify now has the latest update that they are calling Touch Preview, and it has some cool new gestures. To load up new songs, you can try them out and make sure the ones that you are wanting, you can easily do with this Touch Preview. You simply tap and hold on any song to hear that particular track. And then you can lift your finger off the screen and play whatever was playing, what was ever playing prior to your preview will come back on. Cool feature. So if you haven't updated your app yet, be sure to download that update. Next in the news, coming from MacRumors.com, Apple is aiming for 19 hours of Apple Watch battery life with mixed usage. So that's one of the biggest mysteries, is how much battery life will actually be in the Apple Watch. And previous rumors have hinted that it will be needing to be charged once a day. And even Apple CEO Tim Cook said that people will probably want to charge it on a daily basis. But concrete battery life information has yet to be revealed. Now, new details on the Apple Watch's possible battery life have now surfaced from inside sources that spoke to 9to5Mac, revealing that the battery life is going to be aiming at 19 hours. This is 2.5 to 4 hours of active application use and 19 hours of active passive use as well. So that sounding pretty good so far. And moving on to the next story coming from GameSpot.com, the Xbox One will soon get functionality that will let people actually take screenshots. Xbox's boss, Phil Spencer, says that this feature has actually been promised for more than 6 months, and it will launch in the next few months. So if you've been wanting to take screenshots on your Xbox, just stay tuned, and in a few months, you should be seeing it. Next story coming from Polygon.com, and this is all about Unity and why it thinks it's only logical to adopt DirectX 12. So despite the work that it entails, the creator of the multi-platform development software Unity thinks it's only logical to adopt DirectX 12, which is Unity's Xbox, Xbox wizard Thomas Jakubauskas. Hopefully I pronounced his name correctly, says on his blog. To explain why, he singled out that Direct 3D 12 graphics application programming interface, API, and it differs greatly from its predecessor in DirectX 11, in part because it includes multi-core focused features like multi-threaded processing, which could lead to efficiency and the volume of supportive device tips, the scales in its favor too. According to Jakubauskas, 3D12 is analogous to AMD's Mantle and Apple's Metal. Technology is designed to give developers better access to hardware. In each case, the idea is to make games better by making programming easier. Also in the news, coming from TechCrunch.com, Kim.com has launched a Skype competitor called MegaChat. So Kim.com, who's the infamous entrepreneur behind Mega Upload, released this latest product. It is currently in beta. MegaChat is a browser-based encrypted video calling and file sharing platform that is being positioned as a Skype competitor. MegaChat is being is rolled out feature by feature today, and there are a few kinks still to sort out. But, you know, being that it's in beta, of course, that's to be expected. Now, Kim.com announced MegaChat in December when he declared that it would dominate Skype and provide a secure alternative to Skype because Skype has been targeted by for surveillance by the NSA, according to documents obtained by The Guardian from Edward Snowden. And Skype also cooperated with the NSA, allowing communications to be monitored. So MegaChat is targeted directly at people who are wary of Skype security, and its browser-based model is also a swipe at Microsoft's plans to integrate Skype into Internet Explorer so people don't have to download a desktop app. And that is the news, Brad.
Brad had to step away for a moment, but thanks for the headlines, Jennifer.
Sure.
Andrew, what did you think of those stories?
Yeah, there's a few interesting ones there. That MegaChat's a good one, I think. I mean, Skype is a good product, but I really think that there's a lot of space available for a competitor to sort of jump in there and, on a web-based perspective at least, you know, really get in there and compete. So that's going to be really interesting, I think. And the Apple Watch, 19-hour battery life, I think there's an expectation that you're going to get one day out of an Apple Watch, particularly with where we are in the market. And it'd be great to get more, but when you look at the amount of physical real estate, the amount of, you know, space they have for a battery, if you can get one day out of it, that's not too bad. My question is going to be really around how you actually charge the watch. I don't want to have a situation where you've got to get another cable, you know, plug the cable into the back of it. I'd really love a charge station sort of idea. So you just pick the watch up, you know, put it on a pad or, you know, put it on something and it just automatically starts charging. I know Android have had that sort of tech for a while. I think for something like that, I really think we need to move into that because if I've got to plug my, you know, watch in, then plug in my phone, it starts to become a bit of a pain. So, yeah, I mean, that's my general thinking on those stories. And great with Stan obviously launching Australia Day.
And I got to chime in a little bit on the watch because I currently have two smartwatches. I have the LG G Watch and a Gear S. And it's the one, my one pain point is really on the battery life and just having to charge it at the end of the day, and if I forget, if I don't make it home one night, and you know the watch is dead in the morning, so it's quite the issue. And yeah, so charging
kind of
is definitely
like
a poor spot.
If you forget to charge it, then you don't use it the next day, and then the day after that, maybe you're like, well, I didn't need it yesterday, you know, and I forgot to charge it again tonight. So then you end up with two or three days without using it, and I think you get to a point where it's like, you know what, I don't need this thing. I'm not really using it. And it just ends up in your top drawer if they don't make it accessible enough to be able to really use and charge every night next to your bed.
It wouldn't be quite.
I agree. Sorry. Go ahead, Belinda.
Yeah, I was just going to say it would be different than a mobile phone. With your phone, you charge it every night before you go to bed and it's fully charged for the day. But with the watch, it might be a bit different. People might not be using it as much. And as Andrew said, they'll probably just forget it and leave it there and not charge it. And then it'll just be collecting dust. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely. So, I get aggravated when mine goes out because it tracks my steps. And, it's, you know, I get really mad when it doesn't work, you know, if the battery's away and I'll just kind of forget it. So I've done that before. I actually went a couple days without using it because I was kind of pissed that, that the battery died so soon. But, yeah, it's, you know, we'll get there. But I am interested to see the Apple Watch when it comes out, and I think I'll probably get one as well to wear one on one arm and an Android one on the other and go with that.
Wow.
Yeah, I was just going to comment on Spotify. I like the new update that they've come out with, because I find it really frustrating trying to find the song that you're looking for, and then takes time out from what you're doing. So it's good that you can just click on it. And that's what I always wanted when I was using it. I was thinking, I wonder why they don't have that. And now they've got it. That's good. So, Steve, what do you think of those stories?
Yeah, going a little bit more into the Apple Watch. I think Andrew was talking about the inductive charging, where you simply place it, the watch on top of a pad, then wirelessly would actually recharge, which is a good idea because, you know, I see a lot, of course, losing the cable is one thing, trying to find it. Another thing I find out, especially with the, I think it's the mini or micro USB connectors, they tend to wear out very quickly and stop working. So something on the Apple Watch would have to be something small. Not saying it would wear out, obviously. So, yeah, 1 day battery life seems at the very most for that type of watch.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Watch right now, just add a day as well. So, yeah.
What about yourself, Matt? What are your thoughts on any of those stories? Anything to add to that?
Well, not a ton. I mean, obviously, the thing that strikes home mostly for me is the MegaChat story. You know, they're doing some things in the realm of what we do at Taco, and yes, we would obviously agree that there's an opportunity to do material innovation around the notion of people actually talking and using their voice to communicate. So I'll be excited to watch what they do and see where that goes.
It'd be interesting to see what kind of peer-to-peer you know, technology they're actually using for that. There's a few new technologies that are sort of coming out around that, you know, video, a few new protocols around video for web-based. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to have a look and see what they're doing.
Yeah, I wonder if they are making a bet on WebRTC. I mean, I would think that they would at this point.
But the only challenge, I think, with WebRTC is getting browser support. Internet Explorer are obviously against it because it's going to compete directly with Skype. And I'm not sure if I know that Chrome is on board. I still think Firefox, from when I last had a look, weren't on board. So it could be touch and go if only half the market have the ability to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an emerging sort of next generation WebRTC protocol. I actually forget what it's called, ORTC or something like that, that Microsoft has actually been participating strongly in. So you may see, I actually expect to see that they will lend some support to the emergence of WebRTC going forward here. But yeah, you're right. Obviously, there's varying degrees of support across different browsers. You know, we took the WebRTC stack and have built it into a mobile app. A native mobile app, which is a bit of a unique implementation.
So you're actually using WebRT stack for the Taco app, is that correct?
We are, yep.
Oh,
yep.
That's interesting.
Yep, we made a big bet on it 3 years ago now when we first started, which was well before it got all the momentum that it now has. And the choice at the time wasn't as obvious as it would be now, but we're certainly thankful that that we did make that choice.
So when did you actually release the app proper?
We released an iOS-only version of the app in late September. So we've only been in market for 3 months. We spent quite some time, 2.5 years, working through some pretty big technical and user experience challenges in what we're trying to do.
That is a lot of time. Sorry, Jennifer.
No, go ahead. I'm a huge fan of the app, so I'm excited to talk with you. So I'm just ready. I have a few questions, and go ahead. I'm sorry, Andrew.
That's okay. I was just going to say, for that much time in development, have you guys bootstrapped the development, the whole process yourselves, or do you have some very patient angel investors behind the scenes?
A little bit of both. we bootstrapped the first year of the project we wanted to get through a phase where we knew there were really, really serious technical risks in the ability to do some of the things in the VoIP infrastructure that we were trying to do. We essentially worked through that and then raised money from two Bay Area VCs, Andreessen Horowitz and Greylock and Mitch Kapoor that was a little over 2 years ago now. And yeah, they've been great. And I guess you would say patience is one of the ways that they've been great.
Jennifer, you had a few questions?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I've been using the app since it was available in iOS.
Awesome. And thank you.
Thank you. It was so great about it. I love the fact that what makes it different to me is the fact that you can have these ongoing conversations and all talk at the same time versus, you know, with the competitors that are out there. It's just this one-sided combo, right? And so that's something that I just love, the fact that you could just have – and with people all over the world, you know. So it's mm-hmm. fabulous. And I am wondering what – so right now I use it as a consumer. But yeah. What is your main market share? Is it more enterprise-based? Or what is your focus exactly with the app?
Yeah, great question. First off, let me just say, I'm going to answer the question cleanly, but first let me say that a design belief that we have is that going forward there will not be a distinction oftentimes between the tools that we use in our life and the tools that we use at work. I mean, increasingly we're all just people and we expect beautiful, what you might call consumer grade experiences. And so we have gone to great lengths, and we continue to go to great lengths to try to design a consumer-grade user experience. And we have many people using it in their life, like you are, people using it with their spouse or significant other, people using it with their friends and, mm-hmm. and family, and that's just amazing to see. That said, our business will be all about targeting teams within organizations, within and across organizations.
Right.
And so you'll see later on this year, we'll bring to market sort of premium offerings that teams and organizations will pay for. You'll see our messaging and our go-to-market efforts become a little more focused on mm-hmm. on teams and organizations. We will continue to love and support the fact that people also use it in their life, no doubt about it. But yes, our business will be built by selling to teams and organizations.
That's fantastic.
I can tell you where we have really, really strong traction today in that realm are with sort of distributed marketing teams, for example, event planning, event management teams within marketing organizations, creative teams, photography, videography. There was a great Fast Company article about one of our customers just a week ago, and it was a creative team photography firm that uses Taco in some really, really amazing ways. So that's one sort of role-based segment where we have great traction. Another is distributed product development teams, and I include in that sort of manufacturing. And then mm-hmm. finally, sales and field service teams. So those are sort of the three segments where empirically we've gotten a lot of traction in our first few months in market.
We tried to get it amongst some of our peers at the office not the office necessarily, but in my workplace, and we're all throughout the Southeast, and to use this. But the problem is not everyone has an iOS device. But those that do, you know, we've been enjoying it, so it's quite cool. And I work my daytime job is with a large wireless organization. So I'm curious if you were even thinking about future marketing plans of even being like maybe a third party service that is sold through wireless providers or. I don't know. Have you thought about that avenue at all?
Yeah, I mean, certainly we've had interesting conversations about a various range of go to market partnerships and channels, and some future partnership with somebody like a carrier is certainly an option that we will be interested in pursuing at the right time. It's such early days right now. Being iOS only, we've got to get Android app out there, and we're really using these early days to work very closely and get a lot of feedback from the customers on the bleeding edge, right? And just mm-hmm. trying to nail the user model. And so Still very nascent. It's going great. And that's the type of partnership that you allude to, something that certainly we'll be interested in, you know, at the right time.
Yeah, no, I see it from a marketing standpoint. I'm thinking, oh, wow, a lot of our customers could really benefit from a service like this. And so those are the thoughts that are kind of popping in my head right now. It's like, oh, that'd be great if we sold this. And
We should talk.
All right. I just sent you a LinkedIn request, so.
Now, I believe you're back on deck there, Brad, are you? Have you got any
I am indeed, mate.
As well for Matt?
Yeah, Matt, good to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
And
we jumped in without you. I hope that's okay.
What's that?
I said we jumped in without
you. Nah, all good, mate. All good. I had to sit away for a minute to do a couple things. Yeah, I love the app so far. It works great. I love it on the phone. Looks fantastic on the iPhone 6. Any plans on putting it on any other devices besides the phone or the iPad? Or?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, it's a social app. It's a communications app. And when you're one of those things, you have to be platform agnostic as possible, or else you will always have blockers. And we have blockers right now. The strongest one is the fact that we don't have Android out yet. So we're working furiously to get that out. I will also mention that we are designed to be and will always be a mobile first product. But even for teams that are largely mobile and sort of operate in a mobile first way and with whom the product naturally resonates, ultimately there's some part of the day or some part of the week where those people are in front of a PC and there's a web browser up, and they ought to be able to continue or initiate a taco conversation you know, from that larger screen. And so not only are we working furiously on the Android client, but also on a web client.
Oh, nice. Okay.
We have a web client right now, but it's for sharing only.
Okay.
So you can share a taco conversation, create a URL, and somebody can listen to it and view it. But this will be, what I'm talking about is sort of a fully participatory client.
Nice one. So what's the difference between the other ones out there, like Voxer and... you know, what's the difference between you and, you know, the other ones, Haytel and them sort of things? What's the difference between you?
Yeah.
Talk on that.
Well, I mean, the way that I kind of characterize what's happened in the app world in the realm of voice to date is there are one or two camps. There are the Vibers and the Tangos of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the value prop there is free voice calling, free live voice calling. And they've done amazing things, obviously. Let me just stipulate that.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of user model innovation, right? Like, it is the user experience is what anybody who's known the phone call for many, many decades would expect it to be. You dial somebody, you ring, you don't actually dial these days, but you ring somebody, they answer, and you have a live conversation, and that conversation's then gone for good post facto. Again, the value prop is it's free, it works anywhere in the world, works with everybody. So that's one type of app that you've seen. The other type of app that you've seen is something like Haytel,
yep,
or Voxer, or there are others. In iOS 8 right now, iMessage has asynchronous voice messaging. So it's all about asynchronous voice messaging that, you know, tries to do with voice what texting does. You know, allows you to send a voice on your own voice message on your own time, allows somebody else to consume it and reply to it on their own time. Both of those models are relevant and they're great. We don't believe that there should be a distinction in the app that you use based on whether you want to talk live or not. I mean, we just have this fundamental belief that we have conversations as people and teams. We have conversations about things, and sometimes some aspect of that conversation may be live. You may have all 5, 10, 12, whatever people on a team who are live on a conference, and then that conversation may continue after the fact asynchronously. And why should you have to have that conversation fragmented across two different apps? So the unique thing, one of the unique things about Taco is the fact that it allows you to talk when and how you want. Sometimes that's live, sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
And so we blend the two in very, very seamless ways. There are a couple other things that are super unique. I'll try to mention them quickly. Another one is the fact that we do team conferencing very seamlessly from the mobile phone. So team conferencing over mobile networks is really, really hard. Most VoIP services that do team conferencing, like Skype, do it in a peer-to-peer fashion. It's really hard to, some may say impossible, to do team conferencing in peer-to-peer fashion over in mobile networks, given the variability of mobile networks. We've gone to great lengths to architect, build, and design a low operational cost, service-mediated team conferencing infrastructure. So we're one of the very, very few apps on a phone that will allow you to do one-tap team conferencing. The final thing I'll say is that in the user model, you know how in a messaging app, whether it has voice or not, it's a linear sequence of posts, right? Mm-hmm. There's a text message, maybe there's a voice message, and then there's a photo, but it's a linear sequence, right?
Mm-hmm.
In our user model, you can actually compose data types in a way that is not linear. It's like as it happened. So as you're talking, you can take a photo, and that photo will forever be correlated to the moment in time with what was said at that moment. So for instance, if one of our customers in the manufacturing realm, a technician maybe has a break fix scenario on the manufacturing shop floor, something goes wrong. They're on a mobile network. It can't support video or can't support video well. And the scenario doesn't even need video, let's say. They just need to show a quick snapshot. They can be talking to somebody else live or not and snap a photo or a set of photos as they're talking. And again, it's not a sequence of posts. It's not like they talk, then take a photo, then talk, then take a photo. It's they're describing what they're seeing, and the photos are unveiled in conjunction with that. And that's a hard thing to describe in words. It's a very, very powerful user experience that is super unique relative to a messaging app, whether or not there's voice included in those others.
Yeah, definitely. Matt, have you got anything you want to mention about the app? Anything coming up? Any new features or you want to mention, or any updates, or can you mention?
Yeah. Well, the big things coming up are the things that I mentioned. So we're working, furiously on the Android app. We're working mm-hmm. furiously on the web app. We're always iterating to make the user experience better, simpler, more intuitive. And so there will be some improvements in that realm coming up in the next several weeks.
Good stuff.
And later this year, like I was saying, you'll see us for teams and organizations unveil the business model. So we'll bring to market a premium offering. That will be a paid offering and start to build and grow the business there. Final thing I'll mention is that you'll start to see us do more in the user experience to facilitate teams inviting the people within the teams and onboarding them, because that really is where we're sort of getting momentum right now with teams at the edge of an organization. And so there's more that we can do to facilitate that seamlessly. As people are getting going.
Good stuff. Jacob, any questions for Matt? Any questions, Jacob? Steve, any questions?
Yeah, I got a quick question.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, also a statement. I like the idea that you're able to, you said it's kind of simultaneously while you're talking, you can take a picture or something. Mm-hmm. Or now I don't know if you're able to do video at the same time as well, capture video. But that'd be great for the collaboration process, because often you have to take a picture separately, then you got to import it into an application and then, send it off. Here you kind of integrate everything and you said it attaches it to that conversation, so you don't have to worry about it getting lost somewhere and be able to get this back. So that's one aspect that I like of this. And so is your, I think you mentioned before, it's based on WebRTC or something like that. So it is a peer-to-peer connection, basically, or is it a little different? Or
no, it is a little different. We have a server-side implementation of WebRTC. Obviously, there are client-side components, but there's a media service component to it that brokers the voice communications between the different people. And that's how we do team conferencing in a network efficient way.
All right.
It's a bit of a different type of WebRTC implementation, but it's done to facilitate the mobile first scenarios.
Good stuff. Matt, Belinda, any questions for Matt before we wrap up?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what inspired you to develop the app?
Boy, that's a great question. I could talk for hours about that. Let me try to be quick. You know, I mean, I think without question, we could probably all agree that for the vast majority of people, certainly information, quote unquote, information workers, the phone has become or is becoming our primary device. We observed and believe that sort of essential team communications is breaking down because what we've done as an industry is basically port the interaction model of the PC to the phone. The problem is the phone is not the same as the PC. Typing on a big keyboard with a big monitor in front of you is not the same as thumb typing on a phone as you're trying to walk down the street and get something done. And what we observed is that sort of essential team communications is breaking down because of that. I mean, we thumb typing something with any complexity, an idea with any richness, never mind trying to solve a problem, is frustrating at best and impossible in many scenarios. So, okay, then sometimes in a team environment, you try to pick up the phone and call somebody, but ultimately spontaneous conferencing with the entire team is never possible because everybody can't be there. And so these sidebar conversations end up happening. A team falls out of sync. Anyhow, this leads to all kinds of problems, a few of which are lost time and productivity, strained team dynamics. People try to solve that by scheduling more meetings and sending more emails. Nobody wants that. So our inspiration was a recognition of that as the problem set, and then a belief that there's a huge opportunity for a solution that is truly designed, a communication solution for teams that is truly designed to be mobile first, which means it is fundamentally designed to be used while standing or in motion on or across any mobile network. A big part of that, we think, is the prominence of voice. And I know that people don't like phone calls anymore, but you know, we did a lot of digging into why that was and believe that it's because of people don't like the interruptive nature of the ring. So the ability to initiate a voice conversation without it having to disrupt the other person is super powerful. And then this, just sort of this belief that there is an opportunity in a mobile-first way to make talking once again pleasant and effective, certainly as pleasant, effective, or flexible as text messaging. So that gives you a sense of the inspiration.
Good stuff, Matt.
Tackled these challenges.
I just have to say, your use case scenario hits the nail on the head. That describes my issue, you know, all the time prior to Taco, and that's exactly it. You know, you're busy, you're on the go. I have my phone in my hand and I'm walking, I'm doing, you know, and it's trying to respond to something over a mobile device when you're trying to type it. It's tedious. It's, you can't get into detail. You put it off until you get back to your desktop to send the message. And then the phone call, it's that obligatory, you know, thing, right? It's the commitment. I think it's the commitment is to why people don't want to take calls or make calls.
And yeah, it's the commitment and the interruption.
Commitment and interruption. But then this, it's, you know, you have your ongoing conversation in addition to the convo that's waiting for you at your time when it's convenient for you, when you're out of your meeting, when you're out of doing what you're doing and you need to access that content, and there it is. So it's a brilliant solution. I love it. So kudos to you.
Good stuff. I love the app. I use it with Jennifer sometimes on the app. I use it with Jennifer and Jacob and Belinda. And I use it every day. How do you like it, Jennifer? Do you love the app? Do you like it?
Yeah. I was even telling Matt that I use it with some of my coworkers at work as well. So
good stuff.
And yeah,
good stuff. Andrew, what about you, mate? I know you're not a fan of doing voice messaging. Is that correct, or you don't? You know, sometimes you don't want
to. I've been using the app and I'm really enjoying it. It's fantastic. As Matt said, there's an underlying thing now where people with text messaging, I think, has pushed them into this. We're so used to being able to send a message through that can be replied to straight away, but also can sit there and get a reply half an hour later when someone's finished what they're doing. And so I think voice is actually being pushed in the same direction because of people's text messaging, where, as you said, Matt, you can send a message through voice and you may get the reply straight away, but, you know, it might be a half hour or an hour until that comes through. Whereas a phone call, someone calls you, you look at your phone And, you know, whenever I get a call, quite often I'll be like, oh, great, no phone call. Yeah. I've got to talk to this person. And there's so much crap in a phone call as well. It's not just, what are you doing tonight? It's, hey, you know, how's this? How's the dog? How's work? What have you been up to? Oh, that's great. How'd you go with this? There's all this, you know, superfluous stuff that goes on as well that's just not there in a quick, you know, text message or a quick voice message like what Torco is doing. And I think that's a lot of the success as well that you guys are probably seeing. And as you said, you're doing a lot of research on that as well. But from my perspective, that's what I can sort of see in a lot of the value that you guys provide.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and we try to give people the choice to do the thing that's most natural at the time. And I'll mention one more thing, and this is very unique relative to other asynchronous voice messaging apps. So when a user has a network connection for us, it's not, we don't do what other voice messaging apps do, where they record the voice locally, then send it up to the then send it to the other user, and then notify the other user. We are, as long as there's a network connection, we are always streaming live, so that as soon as somebody starts talking, other people will be notified. And so what that allows people to do is, if they're available and they get that notification and they want to respond very quickly, they can go in and just start talking live, even though it didn't that interaction wasn't initiated with a ring. You know, but like for all the reasons you mentioned, oftentimes you're not available, and so you will consume it later. But that's one thing that we do that's unique, that, again, is intended to give people the choice to do what's most natural or most pleasurable at the given time. If you want to talk live, you can go in there while the other person is still in there. If not, you can consume it later.
All right, good stuff, Matt. Let's wrap up. Where can they get hold of you if they want to ask you any more questions, mate?
Sure, anybody can reach me. Any iOS user can reach me in Taco.
Yep.
Just search on my email address, mattp@taco.com, T-A-L-K-O.com. You can always send me email to that address. And, of course, you can find out more information about Taco at www.taco.com.
Good stuff. Matt, good to have you on, mate. Appreciate your time, and the app is fantastic. Love it.
Thank you. It's only going to get better here forward.
Yep. Can't wait to see more of it. Andrew, what's your view on the show, and where can they get hold of you, mate?
Yeah, it's been fantastic to be on the show as always, and Matt, it's been great to have you on and talk about the Torco app, which we really love. So make sure everyone out there jumps on the App Store and downloads Torco. It's a great app, so it's been enjoyable, and you can get me on Facebook and Twitter as Cunning Drew, and be sure to download the Zafo and Rewind app.
Good stuff. You can get me on Twitter at Brad, I was on a tech webcast. Blender, what's your final view of this show, and we're going to get hold of you.
It was a wonderful show, and it was good to have Matt Pope from Torco on.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting, very good app. I particularly like the part where you can take photos.
Yep.
It's directly live. Mm-hmm. And you can catch me on Twitter at bdemy, B-D-E-M-Y.
Good stuff. Steve, what about you, mate?
Oh, I loved the show today, talking with Matt, because it sounds like a very useful tool for collaboration for businesses and other things. And you can find me on Twitter as chatterbox_live.
Okay, good stuff. Steve, good to have you on back next week. Jennifer, what about you?
I thought the show was fantastic. Matt, it was great talking with you and meeting you. And as far as where people can find me online, jenniferruggiero.com is the best place to find me. And all my links are there.
Fantastic. And your podcast will be back sooner.
It will be back soon, GettingReadyWithIt.com. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Check that podcast. That great podcast. Who else are we left out? We got Jacob. What about you, mate? Any views you want to mention? I guess not.
Anyway, I don't think he was there last time.
Okay. I don't know where he is at the moment. Okay, thanks for being on, Matt. Appreciate your time, mate.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thank you to
Happy Australia Day.
Yep, you too. Thank you. Appreciate that. And thank you to Andrew, Belinda, Jennifer, Jacob, and Steve. Thank you.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. 'Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha, ha. Tech Webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer. Boom!